It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome to Money for Lunch. Man, it's good to have you here. I'm excited. My first guest, Sharon Lechter. Sharon's been on the show several times. I had the fun time, pleasure of doing a video interview with her at CEO Space a couple of years ago. And so it's always fun to have her on the show. She's local here in the Valley. So Sharon Lechter is an entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, international speaker, licensed CPA, chartered global management accountant, and most importantly, a mother and a grandmother, lifelong education advocate. She's the founder of CEO of Pay Your Family First, a financial education organization regarded as a global expert on financial literacy. Sharon has served as a national spokeswoman for presidential and presidential advisor on the topic. Sharon Lechter, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you, Bert. I am delighted to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? It's amazing to see how involved you are with your different passions. Pay Your Family First, I think, is a great example of that. Why don't you tell everybody what Pay Your Family First is all about?
Well, absolutely. You know, we talk about learning about money, and we don't really teach it in school. So you literally learn about money at school, at home. And each and every right. one of us, we're the CEO of our own life. And Napoleon Hill actually coined the original term, pay yourself first. And many financial planners, banks, a lot of financial people use that term, pay yourself first. But I'm a little more holistic in the fact that, you know, we want to build a foundation of family wealth, so that we can support our family for generations to come. And so it's generational wealth. So let's not just get money to live the way we want today, but let's build wealth that will sustain us and our family for generations to come. So that's why I say pay your family first. Let's pay attention to what we need to build our own internal assets. Wealth is defined by the assets that you own. And so many people, they are their only asset. If they don't get up and go to work, they don't get paid. So let's start turning those wages into hard assets, those hard assets that generate revenue for you.
Absolutely. And I like that idea of paying the family first. When you have that kind of family mindset, it motivates you differently and you look at doing things differently because it's for the family. It's the legacy you're going to leave behind.
Absolutely. And in that process, you're educating your children with the fundamental knowledge that they know. At the end of the day, Bert, you and I have talked about this before. You're either a master of your money or a slave to it. And we have
yes.
way too many slaves out there. And once you get yourself heavily in debt, it is difficult to get out of that debt. So we want to have our young people learn how to manage their money, how to use good debt versus bad debt before they get themselves in those holes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk about this, because a lot of people know you as the co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and many other Rich Dad books in the series, but you built another global brand before that. Tell us about it.
Well, absolutely. Many of your listeners probably will remember when they were kids and they had books that had children's books that had sound strips down the side where you would touch it and make noise. When Mike and I were married, we had our young children. A lot of them and their friends didn't like to read, and I met the inventor of the first talking children's book. And I joined forces with him. Our first year, we had $1 million in sales. Then we went to 9 to 23 to 52 million. And we were able to do that because of some basic strategies that, of course, my husband and I, who worked together, about licensing, understanding we had this new technology. How could we get parents to buy a book that had electronics on it? And it was by aligning with Disney, Warner Brothers, Sesame Street, that we were able to use their validation to explode our brand and really change the way bookstores were. At that point in time, you know, bookstores, little ladies behind the counter said, get out of here. We don't want anything that makes noise in our bookstores.
Right.
So I tell all my techie friends that I really had the first disruptive technology. But it was wonderful to see how those books reignited children's passion for reading.
Absolutely. No, I remember that. Absolutely. They were great for trips. Back then, I remember taking those, the family trips, and each of my kids would, had one of those talking books. They were awesome.
Yeah, some parents don't think it's such a great thing. They say, I've heard that 100 times in the 5 minutes. But other than that, it was a good thing.
Yeah, it was. All right, let's talk about this, because since you left Rich Dad, you've also advised not one, but two presidents on the topic of financial literacy. And now you're the national spokesperson for the AICPA, the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Share a little bit about the need for financial literacy. I know we talked a little bit about pay your family first, but what do you see out there? I think, in fact, last time you and I spoke, you were trying to do something here in the local Phoenix or Arizona market as far as financial literacy.
And we did, Bert. We were able to successfully pass a law 3 years ago that requires personal financial education for high school graduation. So I'm very, very proud of that. Currently, I'm working with Matt Salmon, our representative, to get a bill through to require financial education nationwide for any student applying for federally backed student loans, and hopefully that will get through. But in Arizona, we were able to change that law. We still need to get a separate class defined, but right now, at least children graduated will have to have had some exposure to personal finance. But it's certainly not enough. And as we talk about looking at the United States alone, we still have way too many people who barely survive, that barely get to paycheck to paycheck. And at the end of the day, they don't understand the essence of money. If you think about it, as kids, you hear your parents say, we can't afford it, money doesn't grow on trees. And all those comments as children were negative. And so we build this fear about money because we think money negative. And it's in our subconscious. And so it's my role, my mission is to get people to understand the power of money and how to master that power and not be a slave to it. And again, it's knowledge of money and how to utilize it. Each and every one of us has a choice. With every dollar that comes into our hands, are we going to spend that in a way that builds wealth, or are we going to spend money so that it's just gone forever? And so it doesn't matter what we do for the paycheck. It's all about what we do with the paycheck. And it's that education that's so important. And each of us has the responsibility for ourselves and our family, and not to rely on someone else for our future, but to rely on ourselves to build the financial fort that we need to survive.
Absolutely. I'm excited about getting that system in the hands of seniors, because it's, I look at our education system and I don't think it's been updated since I was in school, since I was in elementary school, right? I mean, except for we no longer do the hide under the desk thing that a lot of us grew up with, where they would do the siren or the fire or the the bombing drills where you would hide under the desk. But we really need to update the classroom. And I think one of the areas that we need to update it in is financial literacy, because there's so many people, and you see it. And you see some of these kids who are coming straight out of high school, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, being technology or because they were picked up by a sporting team, they're making so much money, but yet within a few years they're broke, or they're in bankruptcy, or they're, even in worse shape than ever.
Exactly, and that's the part that's so fearful, because we can't wait for the school system to change, or we're going to lose another entire generation. And so as parents, as aunts and uncles, as concerned adults, we need to take the stead for any child that we care about to make sure they get the education they need, because the world has changed significantly. If you look at right now, the most job creation is coming from small businesses. If we look back after World War II, what turned our economy around globally was small businesses, entrepreneurship. And that's exactly what we need to be relying on now. The time of the safe, secure job is over. We need to create our own livelihood. And it's never been easier to do that. with the internet, with the tools and the resources, and many of them are free online on how to build your own business. It's so important. The most successful businesses do one of two things, solve a problem or serve a need. So if you have a passion about a problem out there or a need, create a system that you can help people solve their problem or serve their need, and you can create your own business.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that so very much. You know, when you and I met at CEO Space, at that point, you had just come out with a book. It was Think and Grow Rich for Women, which you did in a cooperation with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Tell us about that association and what you've been up to lately.
Well, what an honor. When I made the decision to leave the Rich Dad organization, was when I got the call from President Bush. So I tell people sometimes you have to close one door for other doors to open. And a few months later, I got the call from Don Green, who's the CEO of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and we had known each other just because we were in the same circles. And once he realized that I was no longer at Rich Dad, he called. And, of course, we know what was happening to our economy in 2007 and 8. And so he said, we really need to reinvigorate the teachings of Napoleon Hill. And he invited me to participate in the initial book that I did with them, 3 Feet from Gold. And what an honor it was to step in and help really bring back to life the teachings of Napoleon Hill. And about that time was when he reached out to me with the manuscript that had been written originally by Napoleon Hill and hidden for 75 years, Outwitting the Devil. And it was an honor for me to be able to bring that to life as well and annotate that. For those diehard Napoleon Hill fans, you can read it without my comments. But for people that are new, and part of that was our goal was to reinvigorate Gen Y with Napoleon Hill's teachings, and Outwitting the Devil was the book that has done that. And it's really been fabulous. And so in my annotations, I just draw the parallels between when it was written and today. And then as we released that, we really sat down and said, with what was happening with the women in marketplace, so many women were so strongly complaining and criticizing men. I said, you know, we really need to, we talk about the law of attraction. If women are constantly complaining and criticizing, what are they drawing to them? You know, let's talk about celebrating women. Let's talk about celebrating the progress that has been made. Let's talk about celebrating those men that are champions for women. And so the whole concept of Think and Grow Rich for Women was to change the dialogue. Let's celebrate the women of history. Let's celebrate the women who have paved the way for other women. But let's also remind ourselves that it's when men and women work together we get the greatest results. So not at the exclusion of men, but with the addition of women coming to the table with men, you get the greatest results. And it was such an incredible pleasure to do this project, Think and Grow Rich for Women. And I've just so enjoyed it. And now actually I'm working, my little newsflash, I'm working on Think and Grow Rich for the Next Generation, as well as Think and Grow Rich for Kids. So those two books are in process.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. So, you know, what's interesting when you say men and women working together, immediately I thought of, you know, God's plan, if you will, not to freak anybody out and get all, you know, spiritual. But you look at the original partnership of Adam and Eve. And I can't help but think about that when you started thinking about working together, because we're able to harness, you know, the most unity.
Exactly. And we each have strengths. And, you know, there will be some people that listen to this and disagree with me. But at the end of the day, anytime you make a generalization, you've got people that will object to it. But, you know, when you look at how our brains work, it has been scientifically proven that men and women's brains operate differently. Men tend to be much more strategic thinking. They kind of stay in one side of their brain. Women are greater problem solvers. They tend to, and sometimes become analysis paralysis. But we can, both sides of our brain work together, and we work back and forth to solve a problem. So it's when we have that ability of problem solve and the ability to strategically think and be more decisive that we combine those skills, you have the greatest of both worlds.
Yep, I love that. And you know what? I have been fortunate to have been married, you know, going on 30 plus years. And I can attest that we definitely think differently, and that my wife has brought, many, many great ideas and has stopped me from making some huge blunders. And it took me a while to realize that the way she thinks is different for a reason. And if I was humble enough to, be open to her suggestions, my life was measurably easier and better.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a message that you are in a beautiful position to tell. My husband and I will be celebrating 36 years of marriage tomorrow. It's our anniversary.
Wow.
And so it is, you know, the institution of marriage is alive and well, and we need to shout it from the mountaintops, because there's nothing better than having a life partner and, the ability to support one another and to live in harmony, even though there are those days when harmony doesn't seem like it exists at the end of the day. That's what it's all about, and building a life together is a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. I love the way you put that. Let's talk about this. What is this? You've become a partner at this EBW 2020. What is that?
Yes, EBW 2020 stands for Empowering a Billion Women by 2020, and it's a continuation of my work with Think and Grow Rich for Women. I have partnered with a gal named Ingrid Vandervelt. She was an entrepreneur in residence at Dell Computer. This was her idea. We met several years ago when we were both teaching women entrepreneurs in Haiti. So we've come together. She is a driving force to be reckoned with, and with my financial literacy curriculum, I created a curriculum that was voted the number one adult curriculum in 2015. So we've created the curriculum to support women entrepreneurs in learning basic personal finance, as well as how to build, scale, and globalize your company. And so that curriculum is part of EBW 2020, and we're providing business analytic tools. So it's really a one-stop shop for women who want to start, grow, or scale their businesses. And it's a global initiative, and as we continue building the organization, we will be giving back into women in third world countries to give them the opportunity to start their own businesses. So it's really a collaborative effort of many experienced, successful women who have come together to support other women in business.
I love it. I love it. EBW 2020. And you know what? I want to have you back as soon as your schedule will allow. I'll have you back. And I'd love to do a deep dive into outwitting the devil, because as you said, this is a manuscript that, Napoleon Hill kind of buried for 75 years. A lot of people thought that it was too controversial, but you know, the more I do, research on outwitting the devil, it's amazing that it was written such a long time ago, because it's so relevant today.
It absolutely is. When I first read it, I thought, oh, I don't want anything negative, but it actually helped me transform my life in just reading it the first time. And so it was a responsibility to get that out. And the title actually had scared Napoleon Hill's wife, and that's why it was buried for so long. But it really is a transformational work about how, as individuals, we allow fears of all kinds to cripple us. You know,
right.
Fear can either paralyze us or motivate us. And so it doesn't just identify where those fears come from so you can deal with them, but it actually helps you establish habits and new ways of living your life so that you can create a life of productivity free of fear, or not necessarily free of fear, but understanding fear and utilizing it as a motivation as opposed to a paralysis.
Yep, I love that. I love that so much. Outwitting the Devil, Napoleon Hill and Sharon Lecter, and then as well, Think and Grow Rich for Women, and then you have those other books that are coming out available on Amazon as well. You can check out more about Sharon and what she's up to at SharonLecter.com. Sharon Lecter, thank you so much for stopping by. Looking forward to having you back again soon.
Well, thank you, Bert. I will look forward to it, and thank you for all you do for your listeners. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Good stuff there from Sharon Lecter. And, you know, one of the things that I love about Sharon Lecter is that you can tell she's just got this energy about her, right? I mean, look where she's at. You know, she was the CEO of Rich Dad Poor Dad, and all of a sudden now she's involved in creating this curriculum, and then she got this law passed, and she is not a dreamer, she's a doer. We all have dreams, and the difference is some of us never stop dreaming, but look at all the stuff that she's able to accomplish, and she's just an amazing person to watch. And you can find out more about her, SharonLechter.com. She's also a public speaker, and she helps public speakers as well. So it's just tons of stuff that she's constantly doing. I'm always amazed. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Welcome
right
back
after
to
this.
Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on Geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest, Nina Segura. Nina Segura founded Metaspire Consulting and took it from a startup to millions of dollars in sales in just 5 years. She's a sought-after, no-nonsense, intuitive thought leader with over 20 years experience helping business leaders create super teams, aligning people and processes so the teams are high-performing. Nina's intention is to inspire others to have a life well-lived in response to the rising amount of virtual business leaders and entrepreneurs. Nina created businesscoachingondemand.com and supervirtualteams.com. Nina is a certified professional coactive coaching certification from the highly esteemed Coaches Training Institute and certified Six Sigma Black Belt and project manager. Nina Segura, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Hi, Bert. Thanks so much for having me back.
You bet. Good to have you here. And let's talk about this, because you speak to many corporations about leadership. What is their reaction to your message?
So it's interesting, because the message is that everyone's a leader and everyone has within them the ability to create forward-focused movements. And some of us are more skilled at that than others. So I think that the message that everyone's a leader can appeal to others in many different ways, right? If I have a certain span of control, there might be some fear about that message. Whereas a conscious leader might say, that's great. How do I tap into the leader that everyone has within and get a super team that I can rely on to be there for me always, you know? And that's what really everybody wants, right? We want a high-performing team. We want high profits. We want to exceed our goals. And oftentimes we're not sure how to do that when people are involved. So this message of being a leader and being the kind of leader that can bring the leader out in others I'm not new to that message, but I think that right. The way that I approach it is a little different. So it's been very, very well received. In fact, my book, Every Day is Friday, The Absolute Blueprint for Leaders, came out about a month ago now, and it's consistently been on number one for hot new releases in business and money and business consulting. So I feel very blessed and very honored to be on your show again and to get this message out to the world.
Absolutely. Let's talk about this, because people come to you to understand how to live their legacy as a leader. Talk about that. What do you tell them?
So I know what it's like to have a lot of money and not to feel fulfilled. And I know what it's like to feel fulfilled and not have a lot of money. I've been on both sides of the coin. So I work with creative, financially successful business leaders. They're looking at their exit strategy. Perhaps they built a business like I did, very successful business, and they're not really sure how to transition or rebrand themselves. And one of the things that makes us different is that we work with people that we have. I loved your previous guest, because we incorporate mastermind groups within the leadership programs that we have here. And so the sense of belonging and a sense of community is a really high part of the ACT Business Mastery group that we have here, which is a six-month program. But I'll be releasing shortly, actually, shortly we'll be releasing a free course for people, a three-day course, so that they can get in touch with their leader within and think about how different ways they can engage their crew, which are the people around them, and create their own super team.
I love that. I love that. Let's talk about every day is Friday. What do you mean by every day is Friday?
Well, my goal has always been to have a work life that enhanced my legacy as a leader. And one thing that I know is that I was born to inspire others and to be inspired. So, you know, every day is Friday means I'll never retire because there's no reason for that. And so how might I need to reinvent myself? How might I, you know, I work with people that aren't sure, you know, how to reinvent themselves.
Sure.
So, you know, that's the goal really for all of us, right? I mean, we spend so many hours at work, how to create fulfillment for ourselves and for our team. Did you want more?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You cut out there and it just, and
oh.
I was just... That's all right. Well, that's good. No, that's good. I like that. Well, you know what? And I want to talk about this because you also have a phrase that you use called super leadership. What is super leadership?
So super leadership, you know, if you think about our superheroes, you know, you have Batman. Batman's a systemic leader. He's really good
right.
at building systems. You think about a visionary. We think about Professor X, or to put it in business terms, Richard Branson, right? And everyone has superpowers as a leader. We all are a combination of this and much, much more. Actually, on my website, ninasegura.com/superpowers, it takes 5 minutes, and you can go through a quiz and learn your superpowers there. But primarily what the purpose is once we know our strengths as leaders, we know our life purpose, we have a good idea of the legacy we want to leave on this earth and with our families. You know, we need to be able to surround ourselves with a good super team. So, for example, I'm a visionary, and I need somebody that's a logical leader. And it doesn't mean I'm not logical. It just means I need somebody that can help me sort of plan things out a little bit better, sort of like the Black Widow or like a Craig Newmark, somebody who can create a timing and a system to help me with my great ideas, right? Otherwise, I'll stay unfocused. And, you know, so I work with a lot of people that need these other superpowers to sort of tap into. Was that clear? Was the phone clear for you?
Yeah, no, I thought that was perfect.
Oh, good.
I like that.
Okay, just want to make sure it wasn't freaking out.
No, I like that because we all have, you know, like you said, we all have our different unique powers. Somebody who is very analytical needs somebody who's very visionary. Just, you know, the reverse example that you gave.
Exactly. And so one of the things, the Every Day is Friday, the ACT Blueprint for Leaders, is a compilation of, you know, looking at the book that I wrote, is looking at, you know, the ACTT is an acronym, and the first is for alignment, right? So I, you know, how do I align? How aligned am I with, you know, my values and, you know, my legacy as a leader? If I think about, you know, if you're listening to this right now, maybe think about how much time do you really spend doing the things that are aligned with your legacy as a leader every day. And then C is for crew. And crew is another word for super team. You know, who do I have in my life that's, you know, 99.99% committed to my success? And, you know, my husband might be great, but he might not be the best business partner for me. We might be too similar or might be too different. So having a good crew that we can rely on that's committed to our success is really important. And I think that's why mastermind groups have been so successful over the years, right, in the centuries. And the first T is for transformation. So it's, what's your transformation strategy? So we know that nothing changes if nothing changes, right? We know that transformation can't be forced, but what can we do? What small thing can we do, maybe even right now, just to take a breath and say, I'm going to pause and see what comes to me. So transformation strategy is creating a commitment to having a space in your life and time in your life for a new thought or, you know, transformation to occur. And the last T is for transition plan. So what's your transition plan? No career, no business lasts forever. So, what is our plan? You know, transformation is great, but we need to be able to put that in action. You know, what's our 90-day, plan? So,
right.
It's fun. And I wish that everybody can have what I have today. And that's a well-lived life. And, no, it's not perfect by any means. And I work hard. But every day is Friday for me. Somebody asked me that yesterday, and I said, yeah. And they said, when did that occur for you? And I said, when I decided it, I would. I just don't need it to not be a Friday.
Right.
I think you make a decision. So.
Something that you said that caught my attention is that, making room in your life for change. Because the reality is change happens – whether we like it or not, things are changing. Nothing stays the same. It's either moving forward or it's dying. And, when change happens in the way we want it to, you get a pay raise. Hey, that's great. All right. Life's wonderful. But when change happens the way that we did not want it to happen, i.e. I got laid off, then, Now we doubt ourselves and we doubt everything else. But the reality is we have to make room for change because it's going to happen.
I love that you said that, because one of the hardest things to do when change is thrusted upon us is to hold the focus that something good can come from this. And oftentimes when we're in the midst of it, we can't see it. And when we have a good crew, like a good mentor or a good business partner or a good coach, we're surrounded by people like that, and we've made a commitment to stay in relationship with them, which is part of your transformation strategy, right? I'm committed to having a mentor until the end of my days. There's always somebody who's been in my shoes that could help me. We're never alone. So.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And Nina, we're out of time, but I'd love to bring you back and talk more about, a lot of the stuff that we dealt with today as far as change and overcoming our fears and some of the stuff that we didn't get a chance to talk to. Nina Segura, thank you so much for stopping by.
Bert, thanks so much for having me. It's always a success measure when you say I'm welcomed back. So thank you.
I love that. You bet.
Bye.
You bet. If you want to find out more about Nina and her team, you can go to MetaSpire Consulting.com. MetaSpire Consulting.com. MetaSpire. We're going to take an inspirational break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Fro
and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, it was nice.
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cooler, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My next guest has been an entrepreneur for over 25 years. During that time, he's built 6 multi-million dollar businesses. He coaches top-level entrepreneurs, speaks all over the world, has produced multiple training programs that teach people how to succeed from home, and is the author of The Fearless Networker. Please welcome Todd Falcone to the show.
Bert, how are you?
Todd, good to have you here. I'm excited to talk about this because I think this is a, a subject matter that a lot of people hear about and get excited about, and then they wonder how to make networking work or network marketing work or multi-level marketing work. And so I'm excited to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here and happy to chat about how to make network marketing work for sure.
So let's talk about this. What does it take? What does it really take for someone to succeed in network marketing?
Well, I think it takes a commitment. It takes somebody willing to step up to the plate and actually do something for a long enough period of time to see the fruits of their labors. Unfortunately, a lot of people get into network marketing, and because there's so much money to be made in it, they paint a picture in their mind that they should be making 10 grand a month in no time. And, you know, they come into network marketing. If they're not making 10 grand a month in 90 days, they get discouraged, frustrated, and they split. A lot of them do anyhow. And
sure.
It's hard work. It's a business that requires you to work hard and stay focused over an extended period of time. Yeah, you can make a ton of money in the business, but it takes time. It's a process. It's not something that is overnight.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm glad you said that. So it seems like to me that network marketing is like any other business. It takes a commitment of time. It takes hard work. There's no shortcut. You know, I think that one of the things that people get confused about with network marketing, and I want your opinion on this, is that network marketing, the thing that network marketing brings to the table is that it has a system in place. Hey, if you do what Todd Falcone has done, you're going to get similar results. And I think that to me is a big plus, as opposed to going out on your own and you have to learn on your own. So that to me is like the big draw, or at least one of the big draws that network marketing has. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the great thing about network marketing is it costs almost nothing to get in, and you have a company that's got all the framework already in place. They've got the product, the accounting, the staff, the compensation structure, the marketing materials, and you can simply plug into their existing structure and get to work. The key thing, again,
right,
is work. People call me all the time, and they're like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm like, really? Well, tell me about that. You know, I've been in this company for X amount of time, and it's a good company, and they've been in there for 3 years, and they're calling themselves a failure. I say, okay, well, here's my question. I do this all the time. My question is, tell me how many people – you've exposed your product or business to in the last 90 days? And the answer I always get from these people is, well, you know, not enough. So they just told me that they're not really even working the business. And then I finally dig the answer out of them. And they say, well, you know, I don't know, maybe in the last 90 days, 10 or 15. So the reality is you're not a failure. You're just not even in the business. So there's that's the distinction there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's that quote by, oh my goodness, who's the guy who invented the light bulb?
Edison.
Thank you, Edison. He says that, there's a lot of opportunities that are missed because it's disguised as work. Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to have what I have, then just follow me around for a week and see how hard I still work to this day. So I get it done. I mean, I'm a busy person. I get a lot done. I'm up early. I'm at the gym early. I'm sitting at my desk early. I'm sitting at my desk late, and I'm productive that entire time. And people need to understand that if you want to make money in network marketing, you can do it, but it's you can't just sit around and fantasize about it and you're rich. You've got to work your tail off and stay focused for a long enough period of time in one company. Not be switching around from company to company because you think the grass is greener someplace else.
Right, right. Because no matter what grass you're on, it still requires work. It still requires to nurture and trim and all that other stuff. Let me ask you this, point blank. I want your opinion on this. What separates people who succeed in network marketing versus those that don't?
Well, I mean, same thing we've been talking about. Number one is work. Number two is, I'd say, coachability, you know, the willingness to be open, to be guided and follow a system. People come in and they want to do it their way, but they don't even yet have a way. If it was me, I'm going to follow somebody who's already successful and do the things that they're doing rather than try to figure it out on my own. I think that's silliness. I think the willingness to again, like take guidance. When I started, I would do, if you told me to jump, I'd say, okay, I'll jump. How high would you like me to jump? In what direction you want me to jump? How long do you want me to keep jumping? Because I wanted success that bad, so I was willing to follow the guidance and direction of people that had done it before me, that had a proven track record of success. And I think so. Coachability is super big. I think obviously the willingness to work. And the other part of it is the work. We have to define what the work is. And in network marketing, the work is how many people are you putting your business or your products in front of on a daily basis? Because that's really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. No, and absolutely. And a lot of people don't understand that in most businesses, whether you're a coach, a consultant, an engineer, a plumber, your business is going to live or die by how many people you put in front of it. If you're not talking to people, people aren't getting involved in your business. They're not going to buy your product, or in network marketing's case, they're not going to join your organization because you're not doing enough of that. And that's what it takes no matter what business you're in. Whether you're a dentist or a drummer, you're not going to make any money until you get enough prospecting done.
You got to market yourself. Every business is about selling. And then
what
pisses me off, to be honest with you, is people that say network marketing isn't selling. Yeah, I mean, it might be different than traditional sales. Yeah, sure, I'll take that because I was in traditional sales. But don't tell me for a second that network marketing is not selling. Unfortunately, there are people that are saying that because, oh, well, you know, there's, you know, selling is coercing, forcing, making someone. No, it's not. Selling is you have a product or service, and you identify somebody that has a need, a dissatisfaction, a want or desire, and they're willing to give you money in exchange for you satisfying their need. That's what selling is. And
right.
And to me, I think that's an amazing thing to be proud of, to be excited about, not to be like, oh, no, we don't sell stuff. I mean, you know, companies are not members of the Direct Sharing Association. They're members of the Direct Selling Association.
Right. And again, you do not get recognized for sharing or telling. You get recognized for selling.
You hit the nail on the head there.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, if you want the big house, the only way you're going to pay for that big house is with money, and the only way you're going to do that is by selling something, selling ideas, selling yourself, selling product, something like that. Let's talk about this, because you mentioned, you know, that one of the reasons that network marketing gets a bad rap is because people try to make it, I guess, seem easier than it is, maybe. You know, you mentioned the fact that they say, well, it's not, we're not really selling. This is network marketing. What other things, things that people do to give network marketing a bad rap? What's your take?
I love that question. Bring it. Network marketing gets a bad rap for a number of reasons. People get overzealous. And look, you should be excited about what you're doing. You just found something where you can do something significant with your life, and you're out there doing it. But I think people get overexcited to the point where they don't shut up, and somebody says, look, I'm not interested in your business. Wait, you don't get it? What, you don't get it? You got to join. You don't get it? We're going to be rich. Come on. And they just don't listen. And God gave you one mouth and two ears for a reason, to spend more time listening and less time moving your jabber. And so if we would just listen to the clues, the very simple clues that people give us, if they say they're not interested, hey, cool, no problem. I appreciate you for even, you know, being kind enough to hear me out. I think that's one thing. There are companies that lie to people straight up, or distributors that will lie and say, hey, come on over to my house. I'm having a wine and cheese party. And then they bring out a whiteboard. I mean, if I was inviting you to my house, I'd say, look, I'm having a wine and cheese party, and I'm going to be sharing with some people about a new business that I just launched. I would include that in the message, not sneak pitch somebody, because if I get sneak pitched, I'm walking out of your house. And then I'm going to go tell 10 people that you're a liar and that you're a jerk for inviting me to a wine and cheese party that was really a business opportunity. I'll take the business opportunity as long as you just tell me that's what it is up front. I think those are a couple reasons. I think another one is people not making the commitment, and they jump in, they're in this deal, and then a week later they're in that one, and then a month later they're in this one, and all of, oh, I've got this one, this is the greatest thing. No, no, this one is. No, this one is, and they fail to make a commitment, and their friends look at them like, dude, you've been in 19 different deals, and every one you keep telling me about is, you're, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Plant your butt in a company and focus on that deal. Give it 3 to 5 legitimate, real years of work, and you'll succeed, not hopping around like a bunny rabbit from company to company. So, and then I think the last thing is people that are just untrained and just, you know, out doing stupid stuff that they, you know, they just don't know any better. So one of the reasons I've dedicated my entire business career now to training and uplifting the level of professionalism is because people are running around untrained and doing things that are just giving us a bad name. Income exaggerations. One of the things that irritates me more than anything is people throwing up videos on social media and they're flashing out money. They're flaring out $100 bills or standing in front of their rented Rolls Royce in front of somebody else's house. You know, I mean, it's so ridiculous, and people can see through that stuff, and it's just, you know, gives us a bad name. It's not good because it's network marketing's too good of a profession to deal with this kind of stuff.
Well, and I want to emphasize something that you said because, again, you know, I hope that people are picking up that what it takes to succeed in network marketing is the same thing it takes to succeed in any legitimate business. 3 to 5 years of commitment. I mean, the reality is 3 to 5 years is pretty quick. I know people who were in business for 5 or 10 years before they started making a serious profit. I mean, it just takes time, and it takes commitment. And it's an amazing thing. You know, one of my favorite stories, I think it's called Blue Lightning. It's called the FedEx story. And Fred Smith, who started FedEx, he had some money because his dad was the owner of Greyhound Bus, and his dad had left him a bunch of money. But, I mean, it wasn't like hundreds of millions. I think he had a couple of $1 million, and he sunk all that into FedEx. And for FedEx to open its doors, it needed airplanes, it needed a flight crew, it needed people working the grounds, and it needed salespeople. And so their first day in business, they got a total of like 3 FedEx packages in the door. 3 legitimate FedEx packages. And for him to get those 3 legitimate FedEx packages in the door cost him millions of dollars and hundreds of hours of commitment for 3 packages, which made, you know, which didn't give the company any profit. You know, FedEx didn't start making a profit, I think, until it was almost 10 years old. It became an overnight success after, you know, 10 or 15 years.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. You talk about the overnight success. People, I have a friend that uses this statement. People see the glory, they don't know the story. So they see you and then they go, oh, you're so good. I could never be like you. Look at all the success you have. It's because of how good you are, how, you know, charismatic, or how great you are on stage, or whatever it is. I'm like, dude, you didn't see me 20 years ago. You're only seeing me today, which is a culmination of all the hard work that I put in over the last 20, 25 years. So, you know, if you would have seen me 25 years ago, you would have said, this guy doesn't even have a chance. He'll never make it in network marketing. So, you know, people are always the overnight success story because that's what they're seeing you today. That's why you got to have that before, you know, like with, you know, especially like weight loss companies, you better take that before picture because they're not going to believe you when you're all ripped and skinny. You're like, look at me, I used to be fat. You're like, no, you didn't.
Right.
Let me see the fat picture then. They won't even believe it.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, and it is amazing. I think that one of my favorite things about network marketing is the fact that most people have a desire to have their own business. And the thing about network marketing, and I want to get your opinion on this, Todd, is that you don't have to come in to network marketing to make millions of dollars. I mean, if you love being a school teacher, but you need to make an extra $1,000 a month, because, you know, you want to afford a nicer house, or you want to put more money away for travel or for retirement, network marketing allows you to do that without a huge out-of-pocket commitment, without risking a bunch of capital, without having to open a store. You know, like you said, you're able to plug into the existing system and use their structure to leverage your time. And I think that's the thing that network marketing allows so many people that chance, that it's not about you coming in and making millions of dollars. It's about you coming in and making as much money as you need to make while you do other things.
Oh, it's a perfect part-time business. People can come in for $50, $100, $500 or whatever it is and get started in a business, work it in their own hours, their own time, and they can make a couple hundred dollars a month or $500 a month, make a car payment, put some extra money aside in savings, whatever they're going to use it for. A lot of people come into network marketing and never go full time. And a lot of people come in and never really give it the kind of effort that's required to go full time. So the thing is, and I said this in like the first 30 seconds of the show, it is hard work. If you're going to make $100,000 plus a year in network marketing, it's hard work. Just like making $100,000 a year in anything is probably hard work. And I think people come in and they think, oh, well, it's network marketing and it's all this big money and leverage and all that's great. I mean, the difference is like once you get to $100,000 a year, if you're in the right kind of company, it's a recurring stream of cash flow because it's on product consumption. I mean, if you're in a real legitimate, good, solid company, it's about product or service consumption to end users that are happy, satisfied customers that continue to repeat and buy and consume or use every single month. And that residual income is far different than, you know, somebody, you know, for example, I was an account executive years ago in the radio business, actually, selling advertising for a radio station in Monterey, California, and I'd have to go the next month and resell, and then the next month and resell. I might get somebody on a three-month contract, maybe an annual, but it's still having to constantly resell all the time. And the cool thing about this business is, you know, you can make $500, $1,000, a few thousand, or $100,000 a year, and you, if you do it right, it'll be residual recurring, and you don't have to continue to work to recreate that income.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to recap some of the stuff that we've talked about today. Network marketing is a fabulous opportunity. Like so many opportunities out there, it takes serious commitment, at least 3 to 5 years of hard work to make good money at it. And you have to follow the system. You have to be coachable. Anything else I missed?
I don't know. I mean, you got to just – you got to follow – there's a proven system. You know, if you're going to – here's the deal. You want to make money in network marketing, find somebody in your company that's making money and model the heck out of them. Be a copycat. Find somebody who's legitimately doing it and have the willingness to be open and be given tips and guidance and say, look, you know, do it – if they're going to tell you to do it a little bit differently, do it this way. Okay, do it this way. Don't try to do it your own way. And the other thing about it, and I'll say this, is the – the accountability out, the lack of accountability in network marketing is huge because nobody, your sponsor's not going to do it for you. The upline's not going to do it for you. You've got to be able to step up and learn to be personally accountable and get your own butt out of bed in the morning and start doing revenue producing activities, because in every other occupation, your boss is going to hold you accountable, your teacher, your parents are going to hold you accountable, but not in network marketing because it's a volunteer sport. So there has to be some kind of accountability built into what you're doing.
I love it. I love it. Todd Falcone, thank you so much for stopping by today and sharing with us your thoughts on how to become a fearless networker. And the book, Fearless Networker, available on Amazon?
It is not yet on Amazon, but you can find it at my website at toddfalcone.com, right on the front page. You can't miss it.
I love it. toddfalcone.com. Todd Falcone, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Good stuff there. From all our guests today, Sharon Lecter, Nina Segura, and Todd Falcone. By the way, you spell Falcone like Falcone, F-A-L-C-O-N-E. And you go to toddfalcone.com, get his book there. And you know what? Everything that we talked about today is applicable in your business, right? It doesn't matter what business you're in. It doesn't matter what business you're in. You have to prospect. You have to work hard. You have to be open to change. And you have to be prudent with your money. And it's all applicable to you and your business. Remember, you were created to succeed.
tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.